You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. Is the last Sunday of Eastertide. Next Sunday, I hope you're dusting off your red garments because it is Pentecost Sunday next Sunday. And so to finish up our series in the Gospel according to John, I want to talk this morning about the other Lord's Prayer. If you've ever spent even one day in church, you have no doubt heard the Lord's Prayer. You know, the one that begins, "Our Father who art in heaven," right? Everybody's familiar with the prayer. It's the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples and us how to pray to God the Father. And it's recorded for us in Matthew 6. But there's another Lord's Prayer recorded for us in John 17. And it's so much more than an example of how to pray, but rather it's a prayer spoken out loud so that the disciples could see through a rare and beautiful window into the divine relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if that's not amazing enough, in this Lord's Prayer, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, God the Son, prays specifically for you. You heard that right. Not you in general, but you specifically, each of you individually by name. He prays for you. Now, before we look at this prayer in John 17, the other Lord's Prayer, there are some preliminary observations that you might want to take note of if you're taking notes or if you're just making mental notes. You need to know this ahead of the prayer. It comes to you in three parts. The first part, Jesus prays to the Father for the Father to glorify him. Why? So that he can glorify God the Father. Jesus acknowledges in this first part of the prayer that the time has come in his earthly ministry for his work to be done and for him to return to the Father in heaven. And so here in this first part, he states clearly, emphatically, his mission while he was with us. He says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life." With that statement, we see that Christ's mission to glorify the Father and to give eternal life to God's elect, and when I use that word, don't misunderstand it, elect simply means that is those that believe on him. And so Jesus goes even as far as to give us the definition of eternal life. He says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." It's nice to have a clear-cut statement of Jesus' mission and of what it means to know him, eternal life. Now, in the second part of the prayer, Jesus prays for his disciples, for their preservation and protection as they continue the ministry in the world. Also for their sanctification, that is, their continued growth into the fullness and maturity in Christ. For their realization of the joy that is only available to them through Jesus Christ. It's a very important part of the prayer. And then finally, in the third part of Jesus' other Lord's Prayer, he prays for all of those who will come to know God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, through the ministry of the disciples, who will share the gospel with the world in the carrying out of the Great Commission, making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that he commanded. Jesus prays for the future church, that's you and me, and for your justification through grace, your salvation through grace. And also, like he did for the disciples, your sanctification through prayer and the continued study of the Word of God. So that's the basis of the prayer. And I know that's a lot to take in. As we take these few moments to hear Jesus' prayer, the other Lord's Prayer, I want you to reflect on the dialogue that Jesus is having with God the Father. Because in his prayer, Jesus' divinity, his divine nature, is revealed to you. And he expresses his love for his disciples, but also for you. And he has this desire that he articulates very clearly to God the Father, a desire for you and for me to be with him for eternity. You're going to be someplace. You are an immortal being. And so Jesus wants you to spend that eternity, that immortality, with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. What better blessing? What higher expression of the love of God? What greater evidence of the grace and mercy of God than to have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords lift up your name in prayer to God the Father? So let's try this exercise. Either with your head bowed in reverence or your eyes looking up to heaven. Your choice. With your ears open and your hearts and minds engaged, let's listen to this prayer that Jesus prays to God the Father. For us, it's called the high priestly prayer because Jesus is our high priest. And he sits even now on the right hand of God the Father. And every so often, in my mind's eye, I can see him leaning over into the Father's ear, praying words of affirmation for you. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me. Those you gave me out of the world, they were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And now they've come. They've come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. And so I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Amen. What are we to make of such a prayer spoken out loud so the disciples could hear, so that it might be recorded in the gospel according to John, so that somewhere through the ocean of time, that message in a bottle would float for 2,000 plus years and land on your beach, so that you could open it and read it and pray it and know it, that Jesus Christ our Savior prayed for you specifically. If that doesn't give you God bumps, I don't know what we're doing here this morning. Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, prayed for you and continues to do it as he sits at the right hand of God the Father. And someday God the Father will send him back to to receive his church so that we might spend eternity with him. And in the meantime, you and I as the church have a mission to accomplish, and that is the host of people in this community and beyond that don't have a relationship with the living Christ. We have a lot of work to do out there. That's our mission field. I can see it right over the top of that fence. People going about their lives with no concept that there's a Lord in heaven who prays for them even. We don't dare tarry much longer in this mission. Each Sunday, the message is basically the same. You are the church. Jesus is the head of the church. People out there need Jesus. It's our job, yours and mine together, to bring him to them. Do we heed the message? Are we busily about our Father's business out there? I know many of you are, because when you come to the class meeting, you give an account of how the living Christ has impacted your life in the week prior to that, and you do it time and time again. Or you come to church and your life is a living example to those who don't know him, because you have this joy that's inexplicable to them, even though you're going through the same floodwaters, through the same trials and tribulations, through the same financial struggles or relationship struggles or whatever it is you're going through, and yet you do it and you count it all joy. You do it with a smile on your face, not because you're deliriously happy with your circumstances, but because you are joyful in that you have Jesus in your life. And that's a remarkable thing. That's a noteworthy thing. That's the reason why they wonder what it is that you have that they don't. The only caveat to that is, are you sharing the good news with them? How are you today? I'm joyful. Why is that? Because I have Jesus.
Amen.
I have these less than 1 inch tall figures of Jesus that I pass out occasionally whenever I see somebody that needs Jesus, maybe just a little Jesus. Frankie was having a rough morning this morning, and so I said, "You look like you could use a little Jesus." And I handed her a little Jesus. She's got it in her hand there. Hold it up there. I get these things in bulk from Amazon.com. Who knew Amazon.com delivers Jesus? They deliver Jesus. And so I buy these things in bulk, and some of them have a red sash, and you can get them with purple sashes, and you can get them with white sashes or blue or whatever. It doesn't matter what color the sash is. I'm just saying there's a variety of little Jesuses out there. What a great icebreaker. Somebody's having a bad day. You're in the grocery store. The cash register attendant is just going nuts with all the stuff. And you say, "You look like you could use a little Jesus." And you hand them a little Jesus. And whether they're Christian or not, everybody likes a little Jesus. What I'm suggesting to you is, be bold in your testimony, because you have something that people that don't have Jesus do not have in their lives. You have consistency
and hope. There's a lot of folks out there that don't have that. You can get 100 little Jesuses from Amazon for less than $20. Get yourself some little Jesuses. You pick the sash color and carry them around with you. And every once in a while, when you encounter people, give them a little Jesus.
Especially at Walmart.
That is true in so many ways, Tess.
Sorry.
So, where am I going with this? My point is, be bold in your testimony, because you are the only Bible that some people will ever read. And so your life, your attitude in life as you go through this fallen and broken world is important to bring people to the light of Christ. Because whether they know it or not, everybody needs a little Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
What a magnificent prayer, this other Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer from God the Father, from God the Son to God the Father. It's a prayer that's sent up for you from our great high priest Jesus. It's a blessing on which that we close this season of Eastertide.
It's been a season of celebration at the risen Christ. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and we will celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit that comes and dwells in those who say yes to Jesus. There is no little Holy Spirit figure, so you can't give anybody a little Holy Spirit. They have to take all of it all at once to come and dwell in them. As we change seasons, we go to Pentecost Sunday and then we go to ordinary time. And everything, all the pyramids, everything turns green. And it stays that way for a long time. And we get into the summer doldrums. And I want to emphasize to you that for the church, the body of Christ in motion in this community, there is no ordinary time. Ordinary time, as the church calls it, is anything but ordinary. This is our time to bring the Christ to the people. While the Holy Spirit dwells in you, He does not dwell in these four walls. When you go, He goes with you. Take advantage of the fact that He's portable. And bring him to some people in the coming week. I think that's all I want to say this morning. Isn't that enough? Yes, amen. Thank you. I'm trying to get the technology back online here. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.